Today on Real Radio.
Thank God you don't run through Chino Hills and grab a lamb and sacrifice it and throw it, the blood on the door of your house. Thank God that the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world has appeared.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David J., thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues in his series through Paul's second New Testament letter to the Corinthians. We're actually in a series within a series taken from a section in chapter 12. The believers in Corinth put Paul through, well, they put him through a lot. And if you've stayed with us for a while, or maybe you've read 2 Corinthians, you know what we're talking about. Yet the apostle continues to show these believers a love that can only come by the Holy Spirit. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs now with more in a mini-series called What Love Is This?
He says, concerning false prophets, here's what I want you to do. I want you to judge them. How do you judge them? You don't shoot them. You look at them. You lift up the wool to see what kind of fruit is there. And Jesus says it's going to be rotten. False prophets are going to demand money. They're going to demand status. They're going to demand you accept them. They're going to be maybe, I don't know, 75, 85, 90% biblical. And then they're going to wiggle in their cancer. And that's how they deceive. They love an entourage. They love attention. It's got to be about them. That's exactly what was happening in Corinth and in other places. And Jesus says, watch out. And this is a serious thing because Paul's great defense regarding the reality, the honest reality of his ministry was, examine my life. What did you guys see in Corinth? Paul said, I am not only a believer in the Lord, I've been called by God to be an apostle, and you can examine my life to see if the evidence is there. And that should be true for all of us as Christians, as believers. Should it not be? No? That we're Christians. The evidence should be there. We are to know what we believe. Listen, don't raise your hand, but if I were to ask you, are you a Christian? If you raise your hand, then I should be able to grab this microphone and ask you, define what it is to be a Christian. You should be able to go, in fact, get in line with everybody. You walk up and you'd say, hi, my name's John, and I'm a Christian, and this is what it means. I believe that Jesus died on the cross for my sins, personally, my sins. He rose again from the grave for my justification. He ascended back to heaven, just as the scriptures say, that he came and he died and he rose again from the grave, according to the Bible. I can't save myself. And let me see what else. My life yielded to him. I have given my life to him. I'm available to him for him to use me however he wants to use me. And I'm growing in the grace and knowledge of Jesus. But I'm a Christian. And if I were to ask you then, but on what basis does God forgive your sins? On what basis? You'd say, it's not my works. It's the cross of Christ. Jesus went to the cross and he did it for me. Now look, you one question after another, a Christian should be able to answer. And I believe this so strongly that how can you be a Christian if you don't know how to articulate or say what you claim to believe in? If somebody says, are you a Christian? Yep, why? My parents are Christians. I gave money to the church. No. How can you say that you're a believer if you don't know what you believe in? If you believe in Jesus, who is he? Which Jesus? Tell me the difference between the Islamic Jesus and the biblical Jesus. Which one are you believing in? Who? What? You have to be able to define what you claim to believe. This is being a Christian. And Paul is saying, listen, I'm an apostle, and my life proves it. And when we say, I know Jesus, my life proves it. Look, there was a man, Fred, last service, Fred. He accepted the Lord, Fred. He came forward, he accepted the Lord. And I said, what's your name? He said, my name's Fred. And he grabbed that Bible. You would have thought I had stolen the Bible from him and that he was taking his Bible back. He didn't have a Bible. And I had the Bible, and he grabbed the Bible like it was a last loaf of bread on earth. and he was an elderly man. He started crying, and he's holding the Bible to his chest, and he's trying to talk to me. He couldn't even talk. We prayed together, and I don't know him, never met him before, but the immediate manifestation was, for me to discern as I look at the instant fruit, was he's grabbing onto his Bible. He can't even articulate himself right now. He's so moved, not that emotions saves you, but he so wants Jesus, and that's a good start, versus the person that says, yeah, you know what, I'll go forward. I got a Costco card. I got an NRA card. I got AC. What's that group? What's the opposite? AC. No, the attorney group that sues everybody for breathing. ACLU card. I mean, I just got all the cards, and I'll just get my Jesus card. You know, just stay seated. Don't come forward. Jesus is not an add-on. You come to him. Absolutely, an honest reality, accepting him, receiving him, because you know what? Your life has come to actually its end, so to speak. Third and final push is this, verses 4:14-15, is that what love is this that is so generous? Man, I don't know about you guys, but God is so good to us. He's so good to me. I am so often devastated by his generosity. And I hope this doesn't offend you. If it offends you, I don't want to hear about it because I like it. In my home, we have always prayed in our house, and I think I've shared this with you guys before. Lord, we ask you to bless our family, bless our home, bless the church. We ask you to favor us. We ask you, Lord, to be so generous to us. We ask you, Lord God, to make us an object of your affection. Now, you might say, I can't believe that. That's such a self-centered prayer. I love it. I love it because you know what? You have not because you ask not. And listen, we don't need to win the lottery. We just need to have the favor of God in our lives. Because you know what? You can have the whole world, and what will it profit you if you lose your own soul? No, I want God to be able to define all those words of generosity and those words of affection. I don't want to mess it up. And I'm blown away that God's manifestation I see in verse 14 to give us what no other would give us. And it's coming through the heart of the apostle to the Corinthians. Now, for the third time, I am ready to come to you. I am ready, he says. The word implies that I have been chipped, sanded, molded, shapen into an instrument that is now ready to come to you, Corinthians. And as a pastor, and I know us as Christians, this warms our heart. Why? This is what he's saying. He's saying, you know what? In light of everything that you guys have believed about me and said about me, finally, for the third time, I'm coming. I'm coming to you. When they're like this back in Corinth, we don't care if you come or not. When he says, I have to commend myself because you guys won't. I should have been commended by you. Well, whatever. He's going to end it by saying, the more I love you, the less I'm loved by you. Well, you know, get in line, Paul. What would you do if you were Paul and you were being treated like that? Or who in your life mistreats you? What does God show us here? God shows us here, you love him anyway. You just love them anyway. I would have told Paul, why don't you let the Corinthians just fall on their face? Let them write you a letter for a change. Let them plead to have you come. Paul would have said, Jack, sit down and be quiet. You don't know what spirit you are. Don't you know I am possessed with love for these people? But Paul, they absolutely are rude to you. I love them in such a way, I'm not asking them to give me anything back. I love them anyway. Yeah, but what if they hate you? I love them anyway. Do you hear this? Is this not like the love of God for us?
Yes.
What if this service, because I know first service wouldn't do it, third wouldn't do it, but what about you guys? What if second service stood up and said, we don't want you to be here anymore. Get out of here. And I would say something like this: listen, I don't want anything from you. I just got news for you. I can't eat, live, or breathe without knowing that you're being strengthened in Christ Jesus. I'm coming anyway. That's what Paul is saying. You know what? You can throw me out of Corinth. I'm coming anyway. And in a moment, he's going to make it so clear. He's not coming for those falafels. He's not coming for the shawarmas. He's coming for them. And I love this. He says, I'm ready. It says in verse 14, I will not be a burdensome issue to you, for I do not seek yours. Look at it carefully, but you. What does that mean? I don't want your hummus and falafel. I don't want your money. I don't want your donkey. I don't want nothing from you. I only want you. How awesome is this? Again, isn't that what God says of us? Can you imagine again the thief on the cross? Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And if I could just get my other hand in my pocket, I'd give you 50 bucks that I robbed from somebody. But 50 bucks, right? If I could just get down from this cross, I would do children's ministry time. No. He had nothing to give. Jesus, in a word, is saying, I don't want your stuff. I want you. Oh, Lord, I'm coming to you, and I'm giving you my company. I'm giving you my family. I'm giving you my wife. I'm giving you my... And Jesus, I don't want any of that stuff. You can hide behind all that stuff. Did you know that? It's easy. Listen, if the plate or the basket, whatever we pass around here, the sock or whatever that thing is, what is that thing? That... whatever that sack is that goes up and down the aisle, if you go like this, hey, okay, give it here. Here's 20 bucks. Okay, God. Woo! I'm off the hook now. Listen, after service, we'll give you your 20 bucks back because it didn't count. Your heart's got to want to get in that bag. You put the 20 in there in lieu of yourself. Keep the 20. Jesus says, keep the 20. Put yourself, put the bag on your head. Get in that thing. He wants you in the bag. Don't think you just paid God off for another week of sending up a storm. Oh, no, he wants you. One's religious, a religious act or practice, yes, with the right heart, a form of worship. That only comes, first of all, if God has you. Paul says, I don't want you, your stuff, I want you. He's exhibiting the heart of God, I want you. It's a precious thing. Next, we see here in verse 14, what love is this that's so generous to give what we couldn't have known? This is an amazing thought. For the children, watch everybody, for the children. You can circle the word children and write in Corinthians and your name. Ought not to lay up for the parents. You can write in Paul and the Lord. But the parents for the children. Oh, I'd love to get into talk about how parents are not supposed to be, or I should say children are not supposed to be storing up money for their parents. You know, our culture is absolutely inverted. Well, I'll just lean on my kids when in my old age. The Bible says, no, you're not. No, you're to live your life in such a way, parent, that your kids are benefited from your life. Did you know that? By the way, as Christians, this ought to start a riot. As Christians, as you grow up and you acquire stuff and God blesses your life as Christians, you need to be very, very wise about the stuff that God gives you. Because you know what? Number one, whose stuff is it? Are you sure it's His stuff? It is His. It's all His. And you have no right to give it to a drug addict son who drinks his life away and is waiting for you to kick the bucket so he can inherit all the stuff God gave you. That is a sin. It ain't your stuff. You're supposed to be a good steward over it, even if you have this wayward son or daughter that won't follow the ways of God, but they're waiting for you to drop dead so they can inherit the millions. Nope. Nope, it's God's. And you're supposed to invest it for the kingdom of God. But that has nothing to do with the Bible study. It's on a... The parents ought to lay up for the kids. And Paul is saying this, I don't want anything from you. I want to come and give to you. Because I learned this from the Lord. He has come and he has given all things in Christ to me. I have everything. Paul says, even when I was absolutely destitute, I had everything. There is a wealth and there is a meaning of things that previously outside of Christ we could have never known. And it isn't interesting how children benefit from the parent when the kids don't even know they're being benefited. The little kids walk around. They walk around Disneyland like it's free. Don't they? Can you imagine? They're like, oh boy, look, Dad. And the kids are so happy. It's so awesome to be here. And Dad's like, oh, I'm going to have to sell the house to pay for the Disney tickets. It's so expensive. The parent doesn't say, now listen, Junior, while you're running around having a good time with Mickey Mouse, just know this, Goofy robbed me blind. Right? You don't tell your kids that. Your kids play around the house. They run in the yard. They're goofing off. They're having a great time. You don't go to your kids. Do you know how much the mortgage is on this place a month? They're oblivious to that. Why? Listen, the parent provides. God provides. He doesn't burden us with that stuff. We need to be like that. And Paul is being like that to them. There's benefits that God blesses us with that we've never known. And then we end with this. To give what only God could give? Oh. He says, and I will very gladly spend. This word spend means this. It means to pay the bill and be spent. That word means I am willing to put myself in debt for what? For your souls. I will give up everything, he's saying, for your souls. Isn't that what Jesus did for us? He gave up everything. Though he was rich, the scripture says, he came to us and became poor, that we might become rich in Christ. Heaven. 2 Corinthians 5:21. He who knew no sin became sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God, which is in him by faith. Wow. And so Paul ends by saying, though the more abundantly I love you, the less I am loved. So he started this by saying, let me be as a fool. So let me end this right now, being as a fool. Forgive me this. What love is this? Now, I'm going to deliberately do this out of the Old Testament. Because this is where the promises came. The New Testament is the record of them being fulfilled. What love is this? I ask you right now. Isaiah 1:18, God says, come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. For though your sins are like scarlet, the word in Hebrew means you don't have a stain on your dress. No, the word scarlet means to be red all the way through, from one end of the fabric through, microscopically even through, and permeated, and even back again, completely saturated sin. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as wool. Though they are red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Who said this? God said this. What love is this? Exodus 12. It is the Lord's Passover, for I will pass through the land of Egypt, which is a type of the world symbolically in Scripture. Egypt, that night, and I will strike all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both men and beast, and on all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgments. I am the Lord. The blood shall be a sign for you. This is interesting. The blood shall be a sign for you on the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and no plague will befall you to destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt. Is that awesome? God, listen, it's amazing. God told them, here's the deal. Take innocent blood, put it on the doorpost of your house. I'm going to judge the nation Egypt. Watch carefully. Listen carefully. I'm going to pass through. Now, he did that through his death angel. Remember that? The angel was under orders to do, to look for what? Blood. Was the angel ordered to look for Jew or Egyptian? Nope. Blood. Think of the two loaves, leaven, Gentile, Jewish, all one in Christ. That angel, imagine, just hovered through the streets of Egypt looking. All he looked for was blood. Blood, blood, no blood. Poof, dead. Blood, blood, dead. If an Egyptian would have heard what the Hebrews were talking about and did the same thing, my Bible instructs me that if that Egyptian would have had blood on their door, they would have lived. Let me ask you something. Do you have blood on... That sounded kind of hollow there, didn't it? Did you hear that? That's scary. Won't do that again as an illustration. Do you have the blood? As the listen, there's going to be a day a death angel passes by your life, and he's going to look on the door of your life. Blood, blood, no blood. Boom. Now look, we all will die. We all die. But don't die twice. We'll all physically die, but don't spiritually die. That's called hell, by the way. Hell is full of a bunch of spiritually dead people. Don't die a second death. Jeremiah 29:11-12, what love is this? For I know the thoughts I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. Then you will call upon me and go and pray to me, and I will listen to you. Is this awesome? Is this his love? Isaiah 53, beginning at verse 4, surely he took our pain and bore our sorrows, yet we considered him punished by God, stricken by men, afflicted, but he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him. And by his wounds we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. Each one has turned to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Psalm 62:2, truly he is my rock, my salvation, he is my fortress, I will never be shaken. Last verse, Jeremiah 31:3, the Lord has appeared of old to me, saying, yes, I have loved you with an everlasting love, therefore with loving kindness have I drawn you. What love is this? The love of God that invites you today now to make this acceptance of him. To get the blood on your life. Thank God you don't run through Chino Hills and grab a lamb and sacrifice it and throw it, the blood on the door of your house. Thank God that the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world has appeared. 2,000 years ago, just as he had the appointment on the cross from the Old Testament promises, Christ came. Paid a debt you and I could never pay. And then to guarantee the benefits of that price paid, he rose again from the grave on resurrection morning to enforce the deal. And the Bible says right now in heaven, you have an advocate with the Father who argues your case of salvation. And he simply says to you today, get the blood on.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a study called What Love Is This? It's actually a mini-series taken from a section in 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and part of Pastor Jack's fascinating verse-by-verse look at the book of 2 Corinthians. And we'll continue with more on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Hey, by the way, did you know that you can easily find all of Pastor Jack's resources at reallifewithjackhibbs.org? reallifewithjackhibbs.org, that's where you'll find all of Pastor Jack's books, the archived Real Radio programs, some archived Real Life with Jack Hibbs television programs, our Real Radio Book of the Month, personally selected by Pastor Jack, and a whole bunch of other things. The list goes on. reallifewithjackhibbs.org. Our phone number here at Real Radio, 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.